Hello, you are listening to the Anti-Midnight Special. This is your host, DJ Sugarman, speaking on March 3rd, 2020, a week into the, another week into the coronavirus, which has been going on for a couple months now. We're not going to focus on that because that's a bunch of negative energy, which we're not going to tolerate here at the Anti-Midnight Special, broadcasting on 102.3 Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. As always, I've got some great tunes for you, eight to be exact. No King Crimson, as promised last week. I'm just not going to play that. I'm actually going to start off with a song by the Posies. Posies were one of the first bands I ever got into, actually. A lot of people have the Rolling Stones, of course, which was even for me an early one, but the Posies are basically they were number three for me. There were two other bands that preceded them, and one other that I considered to be the original four. For me, and the Posies were definitely one of them. I found out about this album about 4 years ago, actually this month. I can't believe it's already been 4 years, but it's got a real nostalgic feel to it. I really dig this album. It's called Success. It was released in about 1998, and the first song off of this album, I believe it's the title track even. The song I'm gonna play is called Somehow Everything.
Thank you.
That song rocks so much. I mean, you can't help but nod your head along with it. I dig that song a lot. It's a great album starter. And that album, there are a lot of songs on their other albums that I probably dig a little bit more even. But I think as a complete Posies album, I think that's their best work that they ever released. They were really, really tight together. John R. and Ken Stringfellow as the main guys. I got to see them twice. I actually saw them not long after I got into this album. I think I saw them about a month after. I think it was, yeah, April 29th of 2016. I got to see them in downtown Los Angeles at a very intimate setting show. It was only 30 people allowed in the show, which was wild. And they played, it was so cool. They played a really, really cool set. No bassist even, but just two electric guitars and their drummer, this guy Frankie Siragusa. And I got to talk to all of them, meet all of them. Super, super cool. I got to see him a couple years later, right before, it was like 2 days before I graduated high school or something. And I really dug him. They weren't playing with that same drummer, although he showed up to the show and I think played one song with them. But they had reformed their Frosting on the Beater lineup that had, but they got popular like 20 years ago with that lineup. They had their old drummer and bassist back up, and really, really cool show. And I don't think they played that song either time I saw them. But they tend to play the same old Solar Sister. They always play Dream All Day. You Avoid Parties is a big one. Coming Right Along, just some pretty classic Posies tunes. And the thing about them is they got overshadowed because they came out right about 1989, 1990, and they got overshadowed by the grunge movement. And they were not grunge, they were pop. They were power pop. So right when they were releasing all this, everyone became depressed and emo and had went to the grunge scene, and the Posies were sort of left in the dust. So they sort of got overlooked, even though they were still friends with guys like Chris Cornell. They still got completely overlooked, and it's kind of weird realizing that. I mean, I go to their shows and I see them as just this 90s band that got overlooked, and I'm like, how are these guys not bigger? Well, if you come in at the wrong time without any, regardless of it not being your fault even. I mean, sometimes it's just gonna happen like that. But the guys are super cool, and speaking of depression and grunge, I'm gonna play another grunge song. One by a band called Alice in Chains. Now, this is a song that not many people would know by them. This was released in 1998, a couple years before Layne Staley, their singer, died. And speaking of Layne dying, the song's called Died, which was actually about his former 2B wife, his fiance, this girl named Demri Paro. I think Paro or Para. Either one of the two, but they were very, very tight together. And then I think she died of a drug overdose, and he, I think that sent him, it's reported that that sent him down into his spiral of depression and eventual death. So it was unfortunate that that happened, but it's a pretty deep song. This was at a point where Alice in Chains, the band members really had a pretty tough relationship. I think Jerry Cantrell, their guitarist, and Layne Staley were certainly not getting along mostly, and I think it got to the point where they weren't even at the studio at the same time. So whenever I want to say Brendan O'Brien was helping them record this, Jerry would be in the studio and he would record the guitar parts, and once he was done with that, Layne would come into the studio all drugged up and probably tweaking out on heroin, in Seattle or whatever, and they would just do the cuts, and that's how they created the song. And they created one other song called Get Born Again, and they actually shot the music video for that song using footage of Layne from 3 years prior when he wasn't in great shape. But it was just weird because he had, if you look up photos of that time of Layne Staley's life, it's a wild transition. He goes from being a pretty good looking, 27, 28-year-old, and by 1998, he's missing some teeth. He's got gloves on all the time, and because of his stab wounds into his hands for injecting heroin and other drugs, he's just in terrible shape. And there were other reports of him that I think there was some interview where he talked about he was constantly defecating himself because of the sickness, and I think this is his quote, he was walking through hell, and he said drugs used to work for him, but now they don't, and now he's walking through hell. It's just so sad that you can't have a normal life after that period. And it's sad because, in my opinion, and I'm sure a lot of other people's opinions, Layne Staley and Alice in Chains made some great, great tunes, and they still do. But there's a purity to Layne Staley that has been lost, for almost 20 years now, as he died in 2002. So it's unfortunate that he was the second grunge lord, pretty much, to die, if you don't care count Blind Melon's Shannon Hoon. As far as the big five guys, he's definitely the second one to pass, and it's very sad. But there was actually a very close family connection of mine that actually worked with Layne Staley and worked with some of their later albums and recorded some of their later albums. And a really cool thing, not cool, but sort of a interesting thing, was this close family connection person told me that. They remember working with Layne, and they specifically remember the gloves that Layne would wear on his hands, because it was, they were always plucked out from heroin. So it's, again, very, very sad. But we'll get to the song. It's a pretty cool tune. Again, it's called Died. It was released on their box set, which I want to say was released in 98, post Mad Season, post Alice in Chains, pretty much overall. Anyway, this is Died. It's a pretty heavy tune, so I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. I gotta say, in all that depression of lyrics and you can clearly how you can clearly hear how Lane has no will to live at this point. It's only 98. Imagine how those last 4 years were. But with all the depression and the lyrics, you can I personally, I recognize that the rest of the band, Mike Inez, Sean Kinney and Jerry Cantrell are still making really, really cool music. I mean, that's a very obviously a very Jerry Cantrell riff, and it's in that drop D flat, which they're notoriously, known for. And they still create a killer riff. And speaking of killer riffs, we've also got a song by a guy named Buckethead. I don't know if he's actually not a guy, he's a robot. But I got to see Buckethead about what, maybe 3 years ago, almost two, three, 2 years ago, in December of 17, I believe. And man, that was quite a show. I gotta say, and having been to about 55 rock and roll concerts of, decent name bands, I was kind of scared for my life going to see Buckethead. It was about 2 weeks I saw Primus for my first time, and I was like, well, if he's Les Claypool approved, he's gonna be cool. But I'm still just a little scared, because with the Michael Myers mask and the KFC bucket, I was just like, I don't know if I'm gonna live through this show. I really didn't. But I went to the show. He opened up with this next song I'll play in a second, and I gotta say, his name is Brian Patrick Carroll, and he's had a kind of a weird life. He had like a midlife crisis about his parents, as they I think passed away, and that's kind of like the most controversial thing that he's known for. I think that it just sort of took him off guard, caught him off guard. I mean, however, he is a tremendous guitar player. He's got a signature model out by Gibson. He's a Les, it's a white Les Paul with two kill switches on it, and I mean, Buckethead can literally play any song on the guitar. He's like 6'7", I think, with the bucket, or something insane. Maybe like even 6'8" or 9". He's a tall dude, and his hands are huge, and he can span probably 6 or 7 frets with the size of his hands. And honestly, if he were to take off his mask, he kind of reminds me of Weird Al a little bit. But anyway, this is Jowls by Buckethead. This is the show opener that he used when I saw him. And really cool thing, it was right before Christmas when I saw him, like a week. And actually, he took out a black bag about maybe an hour and a half into the show. And I was like, okay, what's is that a body or is it, like it was kind of a it was a pretty full black bag, and I'm like, okay, I really don't know what to expect with this guy, but it actually happened to be kind of cool, like trinket toys, and he actually just started to hand them out to the members of the audience. He put his guitar on a loop and had the drummer, who was actually Brain Mancia, Brian Mancia, whose stage name is Brain. He was also a former Primus drummer, and this guy named Brewer, who was on bass, but he just started handing people some kind of cheap toys for Christmas. I was like, regardless of whether or not people use the toys, I think that's super sweet of this guy that he really. I mean, he doesn't talk throughout the stage. Actually, the only thing that any of them said in the show was, "We'll be right back," and that was the bassist. That was it. It wasn't a good night, or it wasn't. They didn't say good night or anything, or they didn't say how are you guys doing. I mean, Brian, what's his face? Buckethead doesn't talk whatsoever. And anyway, all this is to say that Jowls is a really, really cool song, and you want to listen to the crazy voice that goes in behind, who kind of is like, Jowls is the killer. It's kind of funny. I think you might like it. So anyway, this is Jowls by Buckethead.
Thank you.
Man, I really dig that that last chord at the end. Whatever the tone is on that thing on his Gibson, he plays it so nicely, and he's a tremendous musician, Buckethead. Speaking of a weird kind of guy, I got this next guy named C6 Steve, and I'm gonna play a song who wrote or play a song by. C6 Steve was actually the guy who I believe was homeless at one point. And not in like the homeless gigging for money way. He was like literally a homeless guy, and he actually created instruments. He invented some guitar-like instruments with like off the street items, like a hubcap and a broom, and he created some pretty interesting stuff. And he's kind of a blues kind of cat. I mean, he's got some cool stuff, and I found out about him right before I left for college, and I was like, "Who is this guy?" The funny thing is, he's on stage in this song, and he's got this drummer who kind of looks like Santa Claus, but the bassist is none other than John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin, and you're like, "How did this guy land that? Having been homeless and then having a couple good songs and land." I mean, he's pretty crazy cool. I mean, he's a cool dude. And he's very humble, very nice guy, and I think this would be. I'd really like to go see him. So, anyway, this is "You Can't Teach an Old Dog New Tricks," a live version again with John Paul Jones by Seasick Steve.
Yes, it is. Two Morris minors and a broomstick. Hubcap. Got a new record called "You Can't Teach an Old Dog New Trick." This is the song. Thank you.
bass. That part at the end is definitely a jam too. That's just it's a sick, and he plays it with a slide. It's like a one instrument, one string instrument. Now I guess this is just being a common trend, but I just have this inclination to play a Gentle Giant song every single time here on 102.3 Penguin Radio. There's just something about if there, you know, I think the Speeding Towards Yesterday show had like a Bob Mould, Eric Clapton, Birds, not even Birds necessarily, but like those three bands, like theme. I think the theme for this show is, or recurring artist is definitely Gentle Giant. This is a song off of their quite interesting looking album called, Acquiring the Taste, which looks like, it's almost like a Rolling Stones tongue on the front, and then it's about to lick something that looks like a peach, but I'll leave it to you to look up the album and look see what it really looks like, because it's a very interesting picture, but... this is not as poppy as like one of the other songs I played called Two Weeks in Spain by them, but it's certainly very cool, and a big part of it is sort of how they're like, hey, yeah, yeah, whoa, whoa. You'll hear it in a second. Here is Wreck by Gentle Giant.
Ships rising up from the sea to the sky, crying, hey, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes. Hey, yeah. Now, that's one you can sort of sing along with. You can kind of get the rhythm. This one, this next song, is not one that you can sing along with too well, except by going, rah, 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 rah. This is Motorhead with Ace of Spades. I dig that stuff. All right, we're gonna tone it down just a little bit. This is that's a pretty crazy song, and it's crazy because Lemmy Kilmister, formerly of Hawkwind and actually the singer of Motorhead and bassist, used a brown Rickenbacker bass that he tuned to, I believe, E flat, and he plays. I mean, he distorts the living you know what out of it. It's a very, very heavy track. And but it's really, really cool. Unfortunately, we lost Lemmy about 5 years ago, but yeah, his spirit lives on in those killer songs like that. So we're gonna tone it down with actually the number 13 best rock song in quotes, of course, by Rolling Stone. You'd think it's like a Zeppelin tune, or you'd think it's a something else. Like you'd think it's a Dylan tune. No, it's actually a Seals and Crofts tune, that is Jim Seals and Dash Crofts. Now, not many people recognize that name. They're sort of that Emerson, Lake and Palmer name. It's just like, well, what do these guys do? It doesn't really tell you much about the music they make. It's just that they're a duo, sort of like they remind me a lot of Brewer and Shipperly, the one toke over the line guys. But anyway, these guys came out with a really, really cool song called Summer Breeze. Actually, I was just reminded of when I saw a Family Guy episode where Peter, the main character, talks about this song and how calm it makes him, and I almost forgot about it. But this is a really, really cool song. Again, it's called Summer Breeze, Seals and Crofts. This is 102.3 Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to the Antime Midnight Special. Say what you will about that song, it's not the most popular song these days, but there's a reason that it's in Rolling Stone 500 greatest songs of all time at number 13. It's probably one of the top songs that they can choose that has just such a killer melody to it. It's so simple and so catchy, and you just dig it. Now, of course, I believe one of the guys, Seals and Crofts, died. I want to say Jim Seals died a while ago. And I want to say that we still have Dash Crofts. It's unfortunate. Once that first member passes away, it's pretty hard to get over, to play a show. I mean, there's the Everly Brothers, who are just a duo. I mean, there's, of course, Brewer and Shipley. I mean, America was sort of a duo that, not really, but of course Seals and Crofts oh man, who's the other one I was just thinking about? Well, anyway, but anyway, this is the last song I'm gonna play. This is probably the opposite of Seals and Crofts. This is No Words, a very advanced cover, not cover actually, I don't know, but it's a very advanced song. With Jan Hammer in it, who's a percussionist and keyboardist. playing in 1976 on Jeff Beck's Wire. Jeff Beck, the former member of the Yardbirds, is one of the crown top three members of the Yardbirds, along with Clapton and Jimmy Page. This is, I heard a lot of things, especially even from my own dad, about Jeff Beck, and I was a Clapton fan before anything else, and then I was a Page fan for Led Zeppelin. And in reading about these three guitarists that were in the Yardbirds, I was like, well, who is this guy? I mean, he doesn't have anything close to Layla or Immigrant Song or any one of those tunes. What's this guy's deal? He doesn't even sing. Not that Page did, but I mean, of course, Robert Plant was the singer of Zeppelin. I really didn't know what to expect with Jeff Beck. I didn't know why people dug him so much. So I gave him a listen. Not only did he have great songs, great song titles, and great songs alone, one title being Constipated Duck, which is probably the greatest name of all time. He had some great, great instrumental stuff. Of course, he was with the Yardbirds, and he was with Beck and Bogert, and man, some people say this guy's name weird. Carmen, is it a PC? Or yeah, I think it's a PC. Beck, Bogert, and a PC. In the 70s, he was also, and then he also had the Jeff Beck Band, which even had Rod Stewart in it for a while, and he's been all over the place. But Jeff Beck created Blow by Blow, There and Back, which are great albums, but I think this is my favorite one. This one is, it's off 1976's Wired, again with Jan Hammer, who's a session guy, with Jeff Beck, and this is a tremendous song called Blue Wind. You're listening to 102.3 Penguin Radio. Thank you. Well, that is some Jeff Beck for you. It's sort of hard to talk about Jeff Beck. You can't really describe his music at all. It's just so out. I mean, as a jazz kind of rock guitarist who did Jeff's Boogie and all those early Yardbirds tune, especially on Roger the Engineer. He did all these crazy things, and then when he went solo, I mean, he had Rod Stewart singing for him, and then by this point, I mean, he on the same album he does a Charles Mingus cover, which is just out of this world. I mean, he's just all over the place, and he was actually so good, I'll have you know, that when he was in the Yardbirds, Jimmy Page was also in there, and it wasn't them both on guitar, even though that would have been cool. It was actually Jimmy Page on bass and Jeff Beck on guitar. I mean, if Jimmy Page says, "Okay, you can play guitar," I mean, you've sort of got it made at that point. So anyway, I'm glad you guys were able to hang out with me for about the past hour. This has been the Anti-Midnight Special, playing some cool Gentle Giant, some cool Jeff Beck, and I hope you enjoyed it. Until next week, stay safe, stay away from this virus, and just hope you have a good one. All right.